Yes.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. Good evening, everyone. It's about that time. It's about 7:30. I want to thank you and acknowledging everyone who's here with us this Wednesday evening. For those that are listening from the East Coast, I think it's a bit earlier in the West Coast, but nonetheless, welcome to Purposeful Conversations, my bi-monthly radio show. Like I said, it's about 7:30, so we're going to give us a little time to allow people to join the show. And what I'd like to do before we actually begin, is to set the tone for the evening and for the next hour that you're going to be with us. And what I'd like to do before we formally begin, again, to set the tone, is to share with you some of my favorite quotes that in past books that I've read, I usually jot down my several quotes, favorite quotes that help me keep focused. So I'm going to share some of those with you. So before we begin the show, and the first one is, "Good is the enemy of great." What would show up in your life if you say no to the good and yes to the great? Again, good is the enemy of great. What would show up in your life if you say no to the good and yes to the great? It's definitely a powerful one. Another one is, there is a difference between interest and commitment. When you're interested in doing something, you do it only when it's convenient. When you are committed, you accept no excuses, only results. Again, there was a difference between interest and commitment. When you're interested in doing something, you do it only when it's convenient. When you're committed, you accept no excuses, only results. And a few more. One of my favorites is, do not believe everything you hear, even in your own mind. Do not believe everything you hear, even in your own mind. I have two more, and then we can formally begin. Good or bad, habits deliver results. The habits you keep determine the person you are or will become. Good or bad habits deliver results. The habits you keep determine the person you are or will become. And the last one, which is really setting the tone for me this evening, is those who got to where they are began where they were. So what are you waiting for? Simply begin. Those who got to where they are began where they were. So what are you waiting for? Simply begin. So no pun intended, we're going to begin. And again, I want to acknowledge you and say good evening for those that are in the East Coast and those in the West Coast. I think it's a little earlier over there. I want to thank you and acknowledge you for joining us. I want to welcome you to Purposeful Conversations, which is my bi-monthly radio show. My name is Jose Albino, and I'll be your host today. And every other Wednesday here on Blog Talk Radio on the Life Coach Radio Network. And I want to acknowledge you, and I'm glad that you made a decision to be with us and put yourself in a position to be open to learning something from us. And also, our hope is that we learn something from you as well. My intention for the show is very, very simple. My hope is that you leave this conversation with a bit more clarity and have a few of those, wow, I never thought about it like that before, moments. And hopefully you can begin the process of seeing some things through a more developmental lens, if you will. Having said that, during our conversation, if you have any comments or questions, please feel free to call us at 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. You know, potential glitches notwithstanding, I will try my best to get to you and answer some of your questions. If for some reason you're joining us tonight and you can't stay on the call for the entire hour, this show will be archived, so you can always come back to blogtalkradio.com We're the Life Coach Radio Network, and listen to this and other powerful shows that are and will be archived. And also, feel free to copy the links of the shows that resonate with you and forward them some in your network that could benefit from the information and golden nuggets that I provided during these shows. So let's get started. But before we do that, I want to give you some background information about me, considering this is my first show here on Blog Talk Radio and the Life Coach Radio Network. As I mentioned, my name is Jose Albino, and I reside in, I live in New York City. I'm a child of immigrants from the Dominican Republic. I was raised in Washington Heights, where I have chosen to remain after I completed my academic studies. I have a very diverse educational background that includes a bachelor's and a master's from the University of New York at Albany and George Washington University, respectively, and professional certifications from NYU and the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching. And for the past 15 years, I have worked in the capacity of nonprofit administrator, particularly in the field of aging, where I work with seniors and families on issues such as end-of-life concerns and quality of life improvement. I'm also a writer. Most currently, you can see my work in the Huffington Post. And in conclusion, I'm a trained psychotherapist and a professional life coach. And marrying these two disciplines, my mission simply is to assist people to get from where they are, right, to where they want to be, based on self-identified goals and using proven tools and techniques. And I almost forgot, I also like pina coladas and being stuck in the rain, and I'm not into yoga. No, I'm just kidding. But one of the main reasons why I actually decided to go this route of life coaching is because while I have been working in the helping profession and have a mental health background, I knew that in working with my seniors for so many years, particularly immigrant and low-income seniors, their story, their wisdom really put me in a place where I had to honor myself and honor my purpose. Not today, not tomorrow, not someday, because that's not a day of the week, but to, you know, they put me in a place where honoring myself by honoring my purpose became non-negotiable. My seniors are the one that inspired me to take a look at my life honestly and acknowledge to myself that I have a gift, and we all have gifts in one way or another. We all have different gifts, and that is my responsibility to share that gift. And I firmly believe that your gift and what you were here put here to accomplish in this universe, if you do that and you share that gift, in turn, you're contributing to humanity. So my experience and my personal life work is what propelled me to help others and get from where they are to where they want to be, and coaching is where I found it. So today on my show, Purposeful Conversations, I welcome my good friend and life consultant and writer, Carmen Pena, who is having extreme success with her workshop titled Conversations with Carmen, Life's Big Questions, and Practical Ways to Live Your Best Life Now. She's having extreme success with the private clients as well. Today, we are focusing on having a more purposeful and meaningful life as it relates to relationships, career, and family. And Carmen will be drawing from her own personal stories of forgiveness and intuition and abundance in order to highlight for you guys, for the listeners and ladies, strategies and tools that she and her clients have used that you can use as well to begin shifting and moving from a place of feeling stuck. So Carmen, welcome. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing this very important night for me. And what I'd like you to do is to please give us some background information about yourself, and you can tell us a little bit about the reasons why you went into this field.
Great. Well, thank you again, Jose, for having me. First and foremost, congratulations on this monumental achievement in your life with your radio show. I am honored and humbled to be your first guest. So that's something that was really important to say, because in the work that we do, I feel it's critical for us to celebrate ourselves and each other. So once again, thank you. And I'd like to also say thank you to the listeners for your support and for listening in throughout the world. As Jose said, my name is Carmen Pena, and here's a little bit about my background. I grew up in New York City as well from immigrant parents. I attended the University at Albany as an English major and went to my dream school, Columbia University, and received a master's in higher education while I was there. And throughout my college days, I often found myself working in offices, helping students. I continued that work upon graduation when I went on to work at Columbia University Medical School. And most recently, I worked with the Young Women's Leadership Network, where I served as a college, career, and life counselor, helping thousands of young people achieve their goals in graduating from high school, getting into college, and receiving millions of dollars in scholarships and financial aid. Therefore, I also served as a consultant, advisory board member for various schools, colleges, and organizations. So with all that said, one common theme in the challenging yet rewarding work that I've done is that I've always had a passion to help change lives and help people achieve their dreams by believing in the gifts and abilities of the people I serve, but also by sharing powerful yet simple strategies and practical tools in personal development and growth. Now, after helping so many people achieve their dreams, I've decided that it's time for me to achieve mine, and I'm actually living my dream now. I am fulfilling my life's purpose of using the natural gifts and abilities that I was born with and the skills and experiences that I've gained throughout my life and career as a life consultant and writer. So thank you once again for having me on your show. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, I'm happy to have you. I'm happy to have you. And thank you again for agreeing to participate here with me. So, you know, Carmen, you've had success with your workshops. And you have touched on and I've been to your workshops, and you've touched on very powerful human constructs such as intuition, abundance, forgiveness. And, you know, in all transparency, you know, I've known you for some time. We went to college together, and we were part of each other's development while students. But you also have a very powerful story on how you've tapped into your intuition to make some life-changing decisions in your life. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about that?
Sure, I would love to. Okay, so Jose, so recently I had a little voice inside of me that kept nudging me, right, telling me that I needed to do something more, something bigger, to reach more people. I needed to hear this message of believing in, I needed to spread the message of believing in yourself, right, something that I have been doing throughout my career. But really it had to start with me believing in myself. So I did this process, which I like to call this internal excavation of the soul. Did a little digging, if you will, and started reflecting on the moments in my life where that voice kept pushing me to do something bigger and better. So do you mind if I share a story with you?
Of course. Go ahead.
Thank you. So the first memory was when I had just finished the sixth grade. As a smart girl in the gifted and talented classes, I was a bit shy, but I was still asked to be a part of this amazing acting troupe for kids as part of an exchange program with Canada. So I ended up spending the summer acting all over New York City. I was psyched because one of the other actors was Morgan Freeman's daughter, so this was big time for me as a 12-year-old girl, right? The experience culminated then in going to Canada. The time came for me to ask my parents for permission to go to this other country. So at that point, I had just finished reading this life-changing book called Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, which helped me to connect to this larger force inside of me, right? For the first time, I was thinking, there's another little girl out there that has, like, this voice that she, you know, talks to inside. So this voice within me kept telling me that I had to be brave and ask my parents to go. So I did. After a little resistance and a little help from my sixth grade teacher at the time, they agreed to let me go, and I have to say that it was one of the most life-changing experiences in my life. I was in Canada. For the first time ever, I was exposed to, like, this abundant nature. I was exposed to things like brown sugar because in my household we, you know, ate the white sugar, the domino white sugar, right? I was living in a log cabin for a week canoeing. So just imagine for this young kid who grew up in urban New York City neighborhood, uptown, just like you did, this was huge. So when I returned from this trip, I felt brighter. I believed in myself just a little bit more, and I felt that I was ready to take on the world, or at least ready to take on seventh grade.
Right, seventh grade, huge.
Right. Yes, that was huge. So was I scared? Yes, absolutely. But was it worth it? Definitely. Like, this was one of the fundamental early life lessons that I learned about taking risks, and if you take a risk, most often than not, you get a chance to enjoy the reward. So then I started asking myself, where else in my life did this little voice speak to me? What some people call intuition, what others may call this internal guide, and some people actually call this voice God, or whatever higher power or force they happen to believe in. I noticed in myself that there was a trend, that the other moments that occurred during transitional moments in my life. So I kept hearing these voices inside of me, this voice inside of me during really big moments in my life where I had to decide, am I going to stay here where I'm at, or am I going to decide to reach for something better? As you said in one of your quotes, is my life good enough, or do I want a greater life? And more often than not, the answer was yes. I don't just want to stay here. I want to reach for something greater. And those moments happened right before I went off to college, which was a pretty big deal as a young Latina to go away for college. I was the first one in my family to do so. And then the other pivotal moment in my life was when I was working for my dream school, Columbia University, and boom, 9/11 occurred. And there was a shift in my consciousness, along with the consciousness of thousands, if not millions of other people throughout our country and really throughout the world. I knew that the job that I had at Columbia, although it had been my dream job at the time, it was no longer serving the sacred contract that I had with myself. By staying there, I was then going to be turning my back on this intuitive voice inside of me that was saying that my purpose was to serve in a larger place, that I needed to get a position that would allow me to serve a larger community of young people. And so I did what I often do when I'm a little bit confused and I need clarity. I went to get a massage. And during that massage, that always helps. The healing effects of a massage added clarity to my life. And during the massage, I heard this overpowering voice inside of me that said, you need to save money and you need to resign. So I decided to do that for the next couple of months.
This is why you're working in what you coined your dream school. This is really what you were.
My dream school.
Really,
correct.
Right, okay.
And it had been my dream school at the time, but after being there for about 2 years, I knew that there was something inside of me that just wanted something more, something different. So at that point, I decided to resign without having a job, and I know for sure that whoever I told must have thought that I was crazy. But this was when I knew that I needed to listen to that voice, because inside of me there was this deep knowingness, this blind faith that I believed that this was supposed to happen. And the best way to describe it is by using the amazing quote by Dr. Martin Luther King that says, take the first step and the staircase will reveal itself. And so I did. And so it did. Because then within 2 weeks of being home, without even updating my resume, I received two calls at home offering me incredible job opportunities. And one was my dream job working for an organization whose mission was to help change the lives of New York City public school students, which resonated with me because I had been one of those students. And at the core of who I was, I knew that that was the work that I needed to do. So I took the position and actually stayed there for 10 years. Now, here I am. A few years ago, I decided, okay, there's something that's going on that's shifting within me again, and I started hearing that voice again that was telling me to prepare myself because I needed to change. I needed to do something bigger. I needed to reach a larger audience. And there were times that I didn't want to listen to the voice because we've all been there in those moments where, you know what, we hear that internal guide, that internal voice that says do this or do that, and we end up not listening to it. So that happened to me a few times in my life, and I struggled, and I ended up being challenged in ways that maybe I would not have been had I listened. But being a firm believer in things happen for a reason, I said, okay, fine, let me go ahead and listen to this voice. So I did. I saved money again. I resigned from my job. I spent the summer with my then 13-year-old son, who was about to go off to boarding school, which was his dream, and I spent the next 9 months working on myself and developing my dream big plan. But before that happened, I came across some struggles and some challenges. I wanted my dream to manifest itself, right? But I had to do the work, and that work led me to discover the steps of change. And one of the things that I discovered after reading the books, many of the books that you mentioned throughout this exploratory journey in my life, was that the steps of change are, number one, awareness. And that basically means that you become more conscious of your values, your beliefs, your thought patterns, and your behaviors. The second step to change is understanding. And what this means is that you get a better understanding through observation and awareness, right, about your limited beliefs or the roadblocks that you may have in your life. And usually these start to develop during your early years. And then the third step to change is reconditioning your mind. And what that is basically is now that you have a higher sense of consciousness, a higher sense of awareness, what do you intend to do about it? Do you intend to stay in the place where you were before of knowing that maybe you're not fulfilling your highest purpose or your highest goals in life? Or are you going to choose to replace those old thought patterns and behaviors that no longer serve you, that are not in alignment with who you're working to become? So I was doing this fun work, right? Because it is work. It's exactly that. And the rewards are amazing, but while you're doing it, it's not easy. So surprise, surprise, I found myself that my limited belief or roadblock was a story of my relationship with my father, that the anger, the resentment and frustration that I felt towards him that I had been carrying for years, mind you, for him not being the father that I needed or wanted him to be. So in this journey of self-discovery, I discovered that I had to work on replacing these feelings with compassion, with love, and with forgiveness in order to heal and then make room for the wonderful things that I wanted to come into my life, this life that I was creating. Now, I'm happy to say that my father and I have a healed and restored relationship now, and there's a story of how this happened, which I'll write about in my book and articles, because I believe that this story resonates with many people and it will help others in a similar situation. But for now, I want to honor our time together, so I'll continue with my findings. The years in counseling, yes. So the years in counseling young people, parents, and adults made me realize that I've always had this deep desire to serve humanity, right, to help people transition from one life stage to another, or to define a dream or a goal, to set a timeline and strategy that they can achieve, all in an effort to create balanced and successful lives. That's what I want for myself. That's what I want for my family and friends. That's what I want for my community. And quite honestly, that's what I want for the world. So I knew that it was time to take the work that I had been doing personally and professionally for the last 20 or so years to the next level. I needed a larger platform. Sharing this universal message with the world that we can create the lives we've always dreamed of and imagined. Like we are the only ones that have control over our lives. So I'm happy to share that I recently launched my business. As you mentioned, I created a seminar called Conversations with Carmen, Life's Big Questions and Practical Ways to Live Your Best Life Now. And I'm also writing a book and articles on this compelling work. So most of the people that I service are clients in K-12 schools, colleges and universities, organizations, and individuals looking to create their best lives now for themselves and the communities they serve. So the big question is, you know, what led me to dreaming this big business up, right? So for years, I have been working on myself. I've always had emotional intelligence, Jose, like the great gift of feeling things deeply and a strong sense of intuition. And I know that you can identify with this because this Absolutely. Is part of the compelling reasons why you are in the field that you're in now. So I've basically taken on my stuff, and I've also taken on other people's stuff as well, and I have looked for the lesson in the experience. Now people come to me for advice, for guidance, and how to cross certain bridges they face in life because I've done the work. And now I have a deeper level of understanding to share, and I can communicate with people in a way that they understand because, honestly, the stuff is very simple. So I myself have been a student of life and have read many books, gone to many workshops, conferences, etc., all because I knew that it was critical for me to invest time and money in myself in order to keep reaching a higher level of understanding and consciousness. So let's be clear that I am not a clinical psychologist, but I do consider myself as having a doctorate in life. And I'm also a firm believer in learn it, practice it, and teach it.
I love it. I love it, Carmen. I mean, I first want to acknowledge there were a few callers, and I'm sorry I didn't get to you. Please call back. I'm just really trying to be intentional about getting the meat and potatoes of the conversation. So please do call back. But I want to acknowledge and say thank you for sharing. You know, you talked about healing and forgiveness and intuition, and your stories is peppered with a lot of challenges, but also, you know, ways that you resolve them. But I think it's important for the listeners to realize, or I'm sure they'd like to know, I'd like to know, how does one tap into your intuition? You talked about tapping into your intuition. How does one do that? What does our body tell us? Does our mind tell us anything that can facilitate that process?
Absolutely. So I invite everyone that's listening in to take in these four simple words. Be still and listen. I'll repeat them. Be still and listen. The great poet Rumi, which is one of my favorites, says, quote, "The quieter you become, the more you hear." So some people practice meditation, and I am one of those people. It has literally changed my life. And there's truly a huge meditation movement around the world. Jose, Oprah and Deepak Chopra, as you know, with their meditation challenge that you and I both were a part of, they have recently facilitated meditation for millions of people around the world and made it simple. But for those of you who really want to change, and most importantly are willing to change and want to start with a simple and practical step, I challenge you to do this for yourself, to go to a quiet place, a safe space for you, light a candle, play some meditation music on Pandora, which is what I do, set your alarm clock on the phone for 5 minutes, just 5 minutes of your day. Place your hand over your heart, close your eyes, and set the intention to release the to-do list, the laundry, the email you forgot to return, and give yourself the gift of nurturing yourself for 5 minutes. This is your time. Once you set your intention, honor it by being still and listening. When a thought comes into your mind, repeat the words in your head. Be still and listen. That can be what people call your mantra. That's it. 5 minutes of your life. This is where you can begin the life-changing process of connecting to your internal universe. Commit to doing this every day for 30 days until it becomes a habit. And you will find, and I promise you, if you do it, that you will find that you feel different, you feel better, you're more conscious, and you're more aware. And slowly you will want to increase the time because you realize the value and the benefits of tapping into the internal force and power we all possess.
Fantastic. And we've shared and we spoke about meditation or even just being still, right? It's people think meditation is this whole lengthy process and we're going to India and, you know, we're going to have eat, pray, love moment. But really it's just being silent and listening to that inner voice. And one of my main things in working with clients or just in general, these things that I call papa, you know, talking about when dealing with clients or having just general conversations, I like to speak about things that are, you know, proven, that are applicable, right, that are practical, that are attainable. You know, people want, and what you've just mentioned is something that's proven, it's applicable, it's practical, and it's attainable. Now, what propelled you or what propels one who now is tapping into their intuition to start making these altering choices or these life-changing choices?
Okay, so every moment we have the opportunity, we are given the gift of choice. Right? So we can make a choice to live a better life, to create the highest and best versions of ourselves now. So how can we do this is the question. How did I do this? By listening to my intuition. I mean, that really, the bottom line is I listened to my intuition, knowing that there was something deep inside of me that wanted something bigger and better. I just didn't know what it was. So taking the time and making the commitment and putting in the energy to doing the internal work allows you to become an expert on you. Like, no one else knows me as well as I do. And it's worth doing this work because guess what? The relationship I have with myself is the longest relationship I'll be in my entire life. And this is something that's worth repeating because it is powerful. Doing this work is so rewarding because the relationship you have with yourself will be the longest relationship you will be in for your entire life. So make the choice to be willing to change, have blind faith, and even if you don't know what to do, you may not see the step yet, but if you have faith, it'll move you forward until the step is revealed. You have to make the choice to believe your life will change for the better, and you need to take inspired action, and it will happen. It will change, I promise you. And I'm actually going to share this amazing true story that just happened to me last week. And the point of this is that the messages start very early on, identifying your gifts and your talents, believing in yourself. So I was invited to do a career day at a New York City elementary school where my sister happens to be the assistant principal. So I was in front of a group of fifth graders that were eagerly awaiting meeting their assistant principal's sister. So here I am in front of these amazing young ones, and I did one of the exercises that I do in my seminars and I do with my clients. So I asked the young kids to put their hand over their hearts with their eyes closed, and I asked the children to listen to their internal voice, that it would help them to figure out their talents, their skills, their gifts, their dreams, and the reason why they came into this world, because they all had something to share with the world. So once they opened their eyes, I told them that in case no one had ever told them before, I wanted them to know that I believed in them, and I wanted to be the first one to tell them that. So I made eye contact with each and every child in that room, and I said with deep conviction, I believe in you. Now you believe in yourself. So as I finished doing this, a child in the front, I noticed that his eyes welled up with tears, but he had this huge smile on his face. So it was almost like contradictory. At first I got scared because I'm like, oh my God, what happened? Why is this kid about to cry? But then I realized that they were tears of joy when my eyes, you know, strode down to his smile. And I realized he had this huge smile on his face. So I asked him if he would please share with me why he was smiling so widely. And he tells me and the rest of us that he felt that at that moment his life had just changed.
Mm.
And in my mind I'm thinking, wow, 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 how can I stop my tears from coming down my eyes right now because I need to continue with my presentation? So I proceeded to thank him for sharing, and I said that my life had just changed with his words. Magic happened in that moment, Jose. The power of going within and hearing words of affirmation and believing in yourself. Clearly, it's never too early or it's never too late to begin doing this work. And, of course, the earlier you do it, the better, which is why it is my life's mission to go out and speak about this in our schools and to our young people. But everyone needs to hear this universal message of believe in yourself. Listen to that internal voice.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know we're going to talk a little bit about later about blocks and self-talks. And, you know, it's really important to realize that, you know, indicative of that story is that, you know, things start early. We get these messages real early, that these messages eventually, even in adulthood, begin to we have these negative self-talks about ourselves, about our bodies, about our futures, you know, which create blocks and these limited beliefs. And it's interesting when you did share that story with me, it just resonated with me and put me in a place when I was a child. And really think, I thought to myself, what messages were given to me and how has that translated into my adulthood and the choices that I'm making? So, I mean, I thank you for you know, inspiring that child. And, what I wanted to do is also, there's a caller, and I'm going to charge the first time. So I'm going to take the first call, Carmen, if you will, and
sure.
Hopefully we'll do this right. So we have someone from area code 404. I am going to put you on live. right now.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, caller? Hello? Hello?
The volume is off. They're trying to listen to themselves on the radio.
Hello, caller?
I think
you're
in block
conference. I think I know, hear some wheels turning. Okay, what we're going to do is shut up the mic and hopefully they'll call back.
I think so.
All right, so perfect. Okay, so Carmen, walk me through this, right? In no way wanted to devalue the story, but yes, and I wanted to acknowledge when we're young, we get messages. Those messages translate into these words, these thoughts, these patterns. And in adulthood, that create these blocks and prevent us from living our best life, prevent us from not listening to our intuition, prevent us from making the right choices. And then speaking about intuition and making choices, walk me through this. So a person knows a bit about recognizing and tapping into their intuition and can identify and use some steps that propel them to move forward to some conscious choices in their lives, which is a magnificent start. And this process of deciding to live your best life is clearly a transformative one. So in your experience, particularly with your current work, what do you think is or are the biggest blocks that prevents us from moving forward?
Sure, I would love to share that. So as I mentioned before, my intuition led me to create this seminar that I referred to earlier. I was compelled to share what I've learned with my network, with family, friends, colleagues, former students, and essentially the world. So some of the people that are listening to us and some of the people that have attended the seminars have already started doing this work on their own, and others are just beginning. So this is about meeting our clients, our listeners, where they're at now, right? So through the seminars, I've worked with many clients of various ages and life stages, from the story that I just shared with you, a 10-year-old, to people in their 60s and the fabulous beyond, who have experienced similar situations. And one of the compelling messages that continues to come up is this fabulous word, right, the F word. And some listeners are probably like, the F word, what is that?
Yeah, what is
about?
The F word?
The
this is
F word.
Radio.
You, right? You guessed it. It's forgiveness. I'm not quite sure if you were thinking of another word, but the word is forgiveness, ladies and gentlemen.
Not
this forgiveness piece, of course not, Jose, not you. This forgiveness piece is huge. It came up in the seminars constantly, but also in the feedback that I collected from my seminar clients. So this is a data-driven observation, people. And when we talk about forgiveness, we mean the forgiveness of others, of course, but most importantly, sometimes it begins with forgiving ourselves first. So you may ask, how can I begin to do the work of forgiveness, right? And the reason why we even forgive, I just wanted to point this out, oftentimes you think that you're forgiving for the other person. Well, Jose, you and I have had this conversation in the past that when you forgive, you're really forgiving for yourself so that you're the one that no longer needs to carry the burden or the weight of all the negative emotions that are inside of you, that you've been holding on sometimes for days, weeks, months, years. I know that was the case with me, and I'm certain that there are many people out there that can relate to that comment as well. So please let us all have a fundamental understanding of forgiveness, that when you start doing the work to forgive, that you're doing this for yourself. You're not forgiving what happened. You're forgiving the person, okay? So what's the first and most important step in forgiveness? It's the ability to be willing to forgive. Many people have asked me, Carmen, how can I do this? I don't want to forgive this person, or I don't want to forgive that person. It'll make it like what they did was okay. That's not what we're doing. That's a separate piece. We're acknowledging that what they did was not okay. But what we are acknowledging is also the fact that you're no longer willing to carry this burden, because when you do that, then you stop yourself from being able to allow other wonderful things in. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on in our discussion. But So the point is to go within, to explore who you are as a person, who you really are, to remove the mask that you show to the world, and to tap into your internal guide, which always tells you what is in your highest good. That is the work, that's where the work truly begins, and that's how you can start to identify what are the things that are stopping you, what are the blocks that are stopping you from reaching your greatness.
Mm. And it's interesting that this whole notion of forgiveness, and you mentioned that it's data-driven for you. It's something that you've seen in your workshop and your clients. And you know, one of the things that I definitely want to point out is that forgiveness doesn't mean that this person is going to come to your house and you're going to, you know, cook them a five-meal spread in the life of and certainly that's definitely something that shouldn't be frowned upon. You know, if you can sit down and have a conversation with the individual or the individuals, because we carry a lot of pain, and it's very hard to give that up. But to make the decision to have this conversation, it's a very important one when it comes to forgiveness, because it does create certain blocks that we're going to talk about in a moment. But also the fact that, you know, I want listeners to know that sometimes if you're still and you make the choice yourself in your mind, and we call it a systems approach, where the individual doesn't have to be there. It's a process where you yourself internally have made the decision, right, to forgive this person, because we don't always have the opportunity or the chance to have a one-on-one, whether it be face-to-face or Skype session nowadays or text session or there's people who are no longer here with us. You know, there's people who are not there, right? They're not there where sometimes we want to develop, we want to be better people, but the other person is not ready to meet you where you're at so you can go ahead and make the changes that you need to make your life and in order to live your best life and forgive them. So it's also an issue of you don't have to have this person acknowledge and say, you know what, I forgive you. That is the ideal thing. But certainly once you made the decision to forgive this person or these people, that's definitely something that is going to be very freeing, and it's going to definitely propel you to make some changes. It's interesting.
Absolutely.
Because one of the things, and one of my favorite quotes is, you know, if you keep carrying the same bricks, right, you will keep building the same house. It's sort of like if you keep doing the same thing and expect different results, well, you know, there's a problem there. And you talked about forgiveness, but what do you think is the main reason why it's so important to clear these blocks, i.e. forgiveness, and also such as limited beliefs and negative thoughts? Why is it so important?
Okay. Well, I just wanted to make one more point about forgiveness before we move on to that, because I have found, like, some of my clients ask me, this is a really big deal for many people, okay, Carmen, so how many times do I have to forgive?
Right.
You know, how many times do I have to do it? Like, once, twice, three times? And then the answer is, and I just laugh because, you know, you realize that if you forgive the person this one time and then they go ahead and do something else that upsets you or pisses you off or makes you angry again, then you already forgive them once, so that means you don't get to forgive them again. No, the answer is that you need to continue to forgive them as many times as you need to forgive them. But what you also do is recognize that, like, to your point, that you don't necessarily need to allow this person into your space anymore, right? Unless this is a family member that, like, for example, my father, where it was years of stages of forgiveness that I had to go through because the unforgiveness was layered so deep. It was caked on so heavily that it took years for me to be able to uncover that and to release it, right? And even now, he may say something that I'm just like, okay. But at the same time, now because I've practiced the skill, I've learned what my triggers are, I am better able to deal with it.
Right.
Right? And the forgiveness quote that, yes, the forgiveness quote that really helped me is the one that states, forgiveness is letting go of the hope that the past could have been any different.
Love
period.
It. And
that's really what we're holding on
it.
To.
Yes, I love that quote. That's definitely one of my favorite quotes. You know, it's giving up the hope that the past could have been any different. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, the forgiveness, the past is gone. It's not going to come back. We're dealing in the
present.
And what can you do in the present to propel you move towards the future. So in talking about that, you know, these blocks and these limited beliefs and
yes.
these self-talk, why is it so important for an individual who does want to move on and does want to live their best life, why is it so important to make that decision to forgive?
Yes. So I begin my seminars, Jose, by asking people, who wants to be happier? Who wants to be more fulfilled? Who wants to be more successful? Who wants to have a better loving relationship? Who wants more peace, more spirituality? Who wants to be healthier and wealthier? So universally, and I'm one of these people, these are the basic things that every human being on the planet can relate to, right? So the second question I ask usually is, so why don't most people have what they want? And you know what the answer is? Because most of us don't know what we want. We haven't spent the time or the energy on doing the internal work that is necessary to identify and create a life that we love. That's the essence of this. So in order to be able to, the reason why letting go and identifying these limited beliefs is that if we want a happier, more successful, better relationships, a healthier, wealthier life, that we need to be able to create the space within us in order to do that.
Create the space. And I know that in our conversations in the past, you've identified four different points that will propel someone to move through the process of living a more purposeful life.
Yes, absolutely. So the question is, so how can we begin to live our best life now, right? So by creating
right.
the space that I just spoke about, it's necessary to have more balance and success in the four major life areas. And I learned this from Deepak Chopra. So it's health and well-being, love and relationships, spirituality and higher consciousness, and material abundance. I'll repeat the four life areas because they're important, right? Health and well-being, love and relationships, spirituality and higher consciousness, and material abundance. So all of these life areas can be improved by being willing to do the work and by making the choice not to wait until tomorrow or Monday, or as you said, like tomorrow, and Dr. Phil says all the time, tomorrow is not a day of the week. It's about making the simple yet powerful steps that we need in order to develop the skills, right? And the only way you do that is by practicing the elements of self-love, of forgiveness, of healing, of gratitude for the life that you have now, so that then you can identify the life that you want and find out what does your best life look like in each of these life areas. For some people, it may mean that, you know what, I'm good when it comes to spirituality, I'm in a great place, but I definitely could, you know, stand to be healthier and practice well-being, you know. And for others, they may be great in all life areas except for their love and relationships, right? So it's about figuring out, and for some it's they can improve in all the areas. So fundamentally, it's about taking the first step to make that change by investing in yourself, by doing the work, by reading the books and the articles that you and I have read, by hiring a coach, by going to seminars, by watching Super Soul Sunday, you know, with Oprah, which we're both, you know, students, avid students of, going to conferences, joining meetup groups or organizations with like-minded individuals who are also working to improve themselves, and know that you deserve to do this. Like, you're the one that's doing the work. No one else can do the work for you. Like, Jose, I'm sure that with your clients, you basically facilitate it, you guide them, but ultimately the client is the one that has to do the work. In the work that I do, I share with them some of the practical, strategic, simple nuggets that I've learned, but I can't do the work for them. So it's about the person taking ownership of the work that they have to do, and ultimately the individual is the one that gets to then reap the reward. And at the end
Absolutely.
Of the day, we all deserve to be happy. We all deserve to be healthy. We all deserve to be wealthy and successful. So it's time for all of us to take inspired action and to claim our best life now.
I agree wholeheartedly. And I have two things that I want to make a comment of, you know, and in terms of making a choice, you know, some I've talked to people and some former clients that talk about, oh, I want love and relationship, and, you know, I want to help be, and I want to be more of a spiritual person. And this is nothing against, and I was thinking about this on the way home the other day, this is nothing against people who watch reality shows, because I am a reality show buff. And you mentioned, you know, Super Soul Sunday. So, you know, in the past, we've talked about, well, what does your DVR look like? Then the person started, you know, telling me what the DVR looked like. And this is nothing against shows, because particular shows, I was like, you know, and making these choices and really making small little choices. And I said, well, you know, having your DVR full of love and hip hop and, you know, Real Housewives of Atlanta and these shows, these things really seep into your unconscious. It's the same way that we watch movies, scary movies, and we dream of certain things. These messages that we choose to partake in, whether watching a particular reality show that does not support, right, your goals, it's probably one of the easy steps that you can make to start making some small choices in your life. It's like you surround yourself around the people that you want to be like. And that just popped into my mind, and I just had to share how simple it is to make a small shift in one of these four areas, whether the shows that you're working, the conversations that you're having, the things that are coming out of your mouth. I'm never going to get a boyfriend. I'm never going to get a girlfriend. I'm never going to lose weight. Well, of course, because if that's what you keep telling yourself, that's what's going to happen. So I just wanted to mention that. And in the interest of time, I want to loop back a little bit in talking about a very important piece that's very important to me, and I want to loop it to the story that you shared with the young boy. And, you know, we all have our shadows and our gremlins and things that we need working on. And, you know, one of the work that I've realized that I need, that I have been working on, and I'm getting there, and my conversations with you and other individuals in this field and other fields, is the issue of abundance and material abundance. And the message that I got when I was younger, you know, we don't have money for that. When it comes to material abundance, it's just something that as a young child really, you know, began to materialize itself into adulthood, where I needed to make some conscious decisions on really having to change that self-talk, because the messages that we get when we're younger, particularly what I get, money doesn't grow on trees. We don't have money for that. Where are we going to get the money from? You know, so money was such a central part of what we didn't have, that the self-talk that I kept having myself through my adulthood was, I can never have that. I can't possibly ever live in that community. And I began to tie it back to the messages that I received as a child, which I don't think were intentional, you know, because by my parents, and, you know, when you know better, you do better. And that's where now I'm in a position to do better. But in terms of wanting to loop it, in terms of the story that you had, that you told us about the child, that these messages really start very young, and some of them even start later. But with my particular issue, I wanted you to talk a little bit about what are your personal beliefs about material abundance in specific, because a lot of us don't believe that we're deserving of living a life of abundance, because some of us may feel guilty, i.e. perhaps people who receive certain messages when they were younger regarding money and material possessions.
Yeah, I would love that, because part of my journey of self-discovery, you know, it's amazing things that you discover about yourself when you really start digging in deep. And what I realized, like you, is that I had these limited beliefs about, you know, money and value and what I deserved. I mean, granted, I grew up in a household where, you know, my mother made $11,000 a year, right? But we always had food on the table, the bills were paid, everything was good, but you still had a fundamental understanding of this thing where one message is we have more than enough, and another message is no, we can't afford that, no, we don't have enough. So it was a huge surprise to me as an adult to discover that I still had a lot of that stuff inside of me, where I needed to do the work and spend time on, you know, I've been doing this spiritual work. I've been working on my health, you know, running half marathons and doing Tough Mudder, doing all these other things to help me with my health and well-being. I've been focusing on my love and relationships through, you know, forgiveness and compassion and et cetera. and understanding people's humanity, including my own. But when it came to the money piece, Jose, that was huge for me. And I finally realized I needed to replace these the negative mind chatter, right, of I'm not worthy, or I'm not deserving, or, you know, seeing myself as different from really super wealthy people. And the reality is that, no, it is our birthright to be abundant. We are all deserving of abundance in our lives, and we need to make room for it. And by doing the work to identify the limited beliefs and the values that no longer serve us, that's when I discovered my worthiness and that I am deserving of success and of wealth. And I needed to replace every single moment, every single time that mind chatter comes up, and it, trust me, it still comes up, of, can I afford that? The answer is, yes, I can afford that. If I have to save for it, then I will save for it. But can I afford it? Absolutely. So it's not about pushing the negative mind chatter down and pushing it down, because then it's always going to be there. It's about acknowledging it. It's about bringing awareness and light to it, and then it's about replacing it with something positive. Like, I am open to receive abundance in all areas of my life. I am worthy of success. And ultimately, what I also realized is about gratitude. Gratitude was a huge piece of this for me, in acknowledging the abundance that is already in my life. There's abundance in the trees. There's abundance in the sky. There's abundance, you know, in the water that we see in the rivers, in the oceans. You know what I mean? Like, recognizing the simple abundance in our life, and also opening up our minds and our hearts to all the abundance that is, you know, part of this universe, and that we have access to that. We just have to make the choice and do the work in order to accomplish it.
Now, Carmen, do you believe and that individuals can invite and facilitate a greater abundance in their lives by doing certain steps or doing certain things to facilitate that process into their lives in more volume?
Absolutely. Look, Jose, a powerful tool that has worked for me is writing in a gratitude and a success journal in the morning, every single day. I make sure that I buy, you know, a beautiful journal. Like, I usually have an inspirational journal that I actually started selling at my seminars, because it's been such a life-changing, even a small tool, it has been truly life-changing. So one of the things that I do every day as my positive habit, right, in order for you to create a habit, you have to practice it. So I started doing this every day. In the morning, as soon as I wake up, my eyes are half, you know, still closed, but I have my journal and my pen right next to my bed, and I write 5 things that I'm grateful for, and 1 to 3 things that I feel that are my successes, right? And then I go throughout the day, and at night, I review all the things I'm grateful for that happened to me that day, all of my successes for the day, and I choose the thing that I feel the most gratitude for and my best success of the day. So this is what happens. You end up thinking about that right before you go to sleep. And as you enter into your sleep, your subconscious mind starts seeping those thoughts in. Then it allows that to, while you're sleeping, to work in your subconscious mind, and then you wake up and you end up starting the process over again. So once you start doing this and it becomes habit and you practice this, you will recognize that you start creating more things in your life that you're grateful for. You start receiving more success in your life and receiving more abundance in your life as well. It is one of the simplest, most practical tools that we can use, and I do it every day happily. I miss it when, you know, if I'm just like, okay, I may be tired, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, but I'm still going to think about this thing, or I may wake up early and I'm like, I need to go, but I'm like, no, I need to take the time to do this for myself, because it is so beneficial and valuable for me. My life has literally just exploded with things that I'm grateful for and successes, and these seminars, my life right now, mm-hmm. being a life consultant and being a writer, these are part of the things that I'm grateful for. I used to write that in my gratitude journal, because another little trick that I use is not only writing the things that I'm grateful for in my life, but also writing the things that I'm grateful for that have not happened yet, but that I want.
Mm-hmm.
So you're already saying thank you for that.
Yes. I mean, that's definitely a good thing. I mean, when you write things down, they begin to materialize, right? When you start being,
right.
you have a gratitude journal, and you write it down, you think about what am I grateful for today? What are the things that I need to say thank you for before you go to sleep? And these things will stay in your subconscious, right? You're really throwing it out to the universe. And I know one of the things that have worked for some of my clients is, like, you know, with issues of abundance, it's also, you know, we all have time. You know, when you have, you give. You know, you can always volunteer, even if it's just one day a week, once a month. You know, there's
mm-hmm.
issues of tithing, and more importantly, there's issues, watch what you say regarding abundance. I had a conversation with a friend who kept saying, oh, I'm broke, I don't have money for that, or I can't do this. And like you said, there's certain ways that you can shift those words and say, well, at the moment, that's not what I choose to spend my money on. Or, you know, that's not really something that I want at the moment. Like, really begin to shift your
mm-hmm.
what you're saying about yourself regarding material abundance. But, Carmen, I want to start wrapping up in the interest of time. But before I do that, I wanted to say thank you to you. We talked a lot about some tools and techniques that people can use to start beginning taking the steps, or complement the steps that they're already beginning to take in terms of living a more purposeful life. I want to thank you to the listeners. I promise you I'm going to get these glitches together. Just my intuition is telling me that a couple of people called. I'm getting some messages. The number, as opposed to clicking on the link to listen into the show. So I'll make sure I'm more intentional regarding what one needs to do to listen to the show. But again, I want to thank you for being part of the show. I want to thank you for sharing some of your stories and some of your nuggets. And I know that you are definitely available to speak to other people and to work with other people. So what is the best way to reach you if individuals are interested in talking more with you or in working with you?
Oh, yes. I would love to share that information. So I'm actually having a seminar coming up on June 4th. That's a Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. So people who are interested in attending can email me at carmenslifeconversations@gmail.com. Once again, that is carmenslifeconversations@gmail.com. And you could also tweet me at, I'm so excited, I just became a tweeter. You can
good
tweet me at, I know, right, at #CLConversations. Once again, that's #CLConversations. And again, wanted to thank you, Jose, for having me, and wanted to thank the listeners for having an open mind and an open heart. And we invite all of you to continue doing this work and share it with someone in your life. The work is not done. We need to continue doing it, and you will definitely reap the benefits of many blessings of success and abundance.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
It was an honor. I want to close and invite the listeners also. It's for this and every other Wednesday, and continue to log into Life Coach Radio Network at Blog Talk Radio. I also want to mention we have many, many other shows coming up. We have one tomorrow by one of my colleagues, David Benjamin Citron, who will talk about transforming your life in 30 minutes. And that'll be tomorrow at blogtalkradio.com at 3 p.m. I thank you all for listening and being here with us this evening. And for those individuals that need to reach me and give me your comments, I would appreciate to have questions or need to reach me for other reasons or for work, whatever the case may be. At the moment, you can reach me at joselifecoach@me.com. And my Twitter handle is josealbinocoach. So please send me a message. Let me know what you think and what your thoughts are, and I will definitely reach back. So thank you all. Thank you, Carmen. It was an honor, and have a good night. And hopefully you'll join us next time. Take care, everyone.
Thank you.